Backseat Book Club, Book 20, Kugel the Clever, by Jack Vance.
Hi, this is Brandon Sanderson, author of Mistborn and the Wheel of Time series, among other things, and you are listening to the Backseat Book Club.
Hey, this is Scott.
This is Jim.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is recently Dead Guy Book Club. And by recent, I mean this should drop about 20 days before the anniversary of Mr. Jack Vance's sad demise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I guess one bit of business before we really dig into our book for the month is that I have been really bad about encouraging you people to play the home game. In fact, so bad that I'm sure most of our listener base doesn't know there's a home game, where you can are, of course, always welcome to participate in the discussion, either by leaving a comment or by a voicemail, which you can reach at 618-207-4794, which has too many ones and zeros to have a really good anagram for, sadly. But if you're worried about long-distance charges, you can go to the website at backseatproducers.com and just push the button, and Google will call you. And then you can tell us what you think of this book or any other book we've covered in the past. And I will put it out there for the listeners, because participation is cool. This isn't high school anymore. You can raise your hand and talk about shit. I'm sure shaming you right now is really going to work out. What do you think? Is this a good plan, Jim?
Yeah, well, I think I'm participating.
See, Jim? Oh. Jim's just a guy who emailed me.
Yeah.
Nothing special. You just got to shoot us emails. That's how it works. Speaking of emails, if you want to do show notes for us, that would be awesome. Otherwise, I'm just going to start making things up. Actually, that might be more fun than having real show notes. I'm going to do that. Don't read the show notes for this episode, guys. The other thing is, one last bit of business, is that after next month, we don't have any more books lined up, really. So suggest things, because we're always looking for new stuff to try. Obviously, fiction, standalone, readily accessible, because it's kind of a pain if we all try to buy the same book from the same used bookstore. It doesn't work. But yes, that's all I've got, which brings us to our book for the month, The Eyes of Overworld / Kugel the Clever, depending on who you ask and what year you ask it, by Jack Vance.
Yeah, I suggested this book because we were talking about how we have a bunch of unlikable protagonists in the books we talk about, and I figured this would keep our streak going.
Well, yeah, because this is what it comes down to, is Kugel is a bastard.
He's the worst. Well, he's just the worst. Everyone in the book is pretty bad. There are very few people who are actually, you know, just kind, and a lot of people do screw Kugel, but he's the worst.
I don't know, everyone he meets is almost equally terrible. Or if not as terrible, at least somehow manages to exert power over Kugel, so you at least kind of feel bad for him when he gets shunted to the ends of the earth or turned inside out after he eats everything. Yeah. That happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that happened because the reason he was so hungry, because the wizard wouldn't share his food.
Yeah.
And so he ate the wizard's thing, you know.
Like you do. Like, you just see this little squirmy thing roaming around, and you're like, you know, I could probably grill that.
If the wizard had just shared his food, it would have saved him a lot of effort.
What's a wizard need with all that food? They're skinny guys.
Yeah, but I mean, through the first half of the book, there's no one who doesn't screw with Kugel one way or another. In the later half, there are some people who actually try to help him, but...
But that's their mistake, because then Kugel screws them.
Yeah, well, Kugel's notion of revenge is, extreme. It seems that when someone does any sort of slight to Kugel, he feels justified in absolutely anything.
Yeah, I'm going to leave you for dead and take all your stuff and laugh at you. Going to corrupt your beliefs. Going to go back in time and mess with you. I guess in terms of plot is Kugel is plying his trade in as a purveyor of magical items, but not very good magical items. And he hears a rumor, he gets a tip that the local big mugwump wizard is going to be busy all afternoon, and he's got a house full of neat stuff that he could go steal, and then they could split it with the guy who gave him the tip, and that would be sweet. Except he gets caught, and the penalty for getting caught stealing wizard shit is that a wizard straps you with a demon companion, sends you to the opposite end of the planet, and tells you to find something for him. But luckily, he'll give you enough gear to maybe not die on the way. And that's it. Like, it's all about Kugel trying to get back to where he started so he can exact his much-deserved revenge. And along the way, he meets people and bumps into other wizards who are also bastards, or, you know, townsfolk who are bastards, or some religious pilgrims who actually aren't all that bad.
Yeah, no, that was the first one where they didn't really try to screw him. He ended up screwing them in the end, but they were mostly nice.
They were all right people.
Yeah.
Until Kugel came along, and then he makes other people worse. I think that's it.
That's part of it, for sure.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that this is not exactly a novel, because it is a series of short stories that were released over a couple of years in the magazine of fantasy and science fiction, which is just a wonderful name for your magazine of fantasy and science fiction, I guess. And I suppose if you were to categorize it, it has that picaresque feel. Like, it's just he wanders into a place and stuff goes down and maybe he comes out better, but probably not.
Yeah, I don't know if in any of the sections he actually comes out really with much, except for the cusp, which is what he's looking for. Every time he gains something, he ends up losing it. He gets a bunch of cool wizard items, loses those.
See, I think the only time he comes out ahead, and I'll say he comes out ahead, is actually the first village he comes across, where he finds the cool violet goggles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he came for.
Like
so he gets that.
He got that, and that doesn't get mentioned for like four stories, and then all of a sudden he busts them out and starts messing with people using those.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how much I have to say. I have a few things to say about it, but normally we go into characters from here, but the only character is really Kugel. Like, he's alone a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, for each chapter, you'll have a new set of characters interacting with Kugel, and they'll be around a little bit, but then they'll be gone for the next one.
Like, that. There's not a lot of time for characterization except for our main. And
his main character trait is just self-absorption.
Yeah, like he's a selfish jerkbag. And I mean, he has the demon tentacle monster that like seems to share part of his liver. And I feel like this could have been a character. And maybe this is me reading later authors who have taken a cue from Firk's the demon monster liver thing and had them be almost like a little bit of a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Like half call back to an older episode, I did read Matt Stover's Magic the Gathering novel, and we had a selfish bastard with a liver demon monster, and the liver demon monster also had a share of the inner monologue, and there was some interplay there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, Firk's, go ahead.
Firk's just is just kind of stick.
Yeah, he's a plot device, really, just to explain why does Kugel not just stop?
Yeah.
Why does he keep going back? to, you know, complete his quest. Why doesn't he just stay where he is or,
you know,
do anything else? Because of Ferks.
Yeah. And it's always a little bit funny when he gets to a point where it's like, hey, where he has a where Kugel has a chance to set himself up with a new scam. And then he kind of has to con Ferks into going along with it, where it's like, no, like this quest will go faster if I take a day off, you know, set myself up here. I mean, and there might be other cool wizard stuff that your master might want. Yeah, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think Ferks would learn eventually.
Well, on the other hand, Kugel does keep making progress.
I mean, he does. He does.
And he calls himself Kugel clever, and he is sometimes actually quite clever.
Well, it's...
He manages to cross terrain that, you know, everyone claims is impassable, and he achieves quite a bit. It's just the problem is that his opinion of his own cleverness always exceeds his cleverness.
Yeah.
And in the end, even when he gets rid of Ferks, and he has the opportunity to just, you know, go do anything else, he just has to go and confront the wizard.
Well, he had a plan. Like, come on. Yeah. He had a shiny new spell book, knew just what he was going to do, and then he didn't study his notes hard enough, and... Gotta love that ending. It's like, yeah.
That ending was great, yeah.
That is the exact right ending.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the best parts of the book, and it sets up the next one, and yeah, it's excellent.
Well, and I guess that's something worth mentioning, is that there is a next one and a different next one. Obviously, you have Jack Vance's sequel with Kugel's Saga, but at the same time, Michael Shea was also allowed to write a sequel in the same vein,
mm-hmm.
which was weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really enjoy this book. I like the language. This is another one where sometimes language is used to obscure some of the more horrible things that goes on. Most, you know, like we talked about in Clockwork Orange, except most of the time, the evil things that Kugel does are, you know, less crass and more abstract than in Clockwork Orange, but there are a couple of times where he just rapes women. There are, I think, two rapes. One of them is quite clearly with the girl who, you know, pretended to marry him. And the other one, I'll read here, and it's ambiguous a little bit. It says, for a brief period after their expulsion from Syl, she had carried herself with an inappropriate hauteur, which Kugel had tolerated with a quiet smile for himself. Their first couching had been both eventful and taxing. Thereafter, Derwi Kareem had modified at least her overt behavior. So I think that he raped her. That's what I get out of that. Am I mistaken?
You know, you could definitely read it as a bit rapey. But it implies further things, and I don't know if Kugel is quite good enough to pull that trick twice.
I don't know.
Like that is an is that did they or didn't they?
Yeah, well, it's about what does the word couching mean exactly, and because you know, he uses these antique words. You know, I went to the dictionary to check what couching means, and you know, it can mean to lie something down. It can mean to place things together, and I'm not sure. I mean, the next line says her face. Delicate and clearer feature had lost little of its brooding melancholy, but the arrogance had altered as milk becomes cheese to a new and wakeful appreciation of reality. Which she doesn't really seem willing. She doesn't seem keen on this couching, I would say.
Yeah. Although based on what the Wikipedia dictionary has to say, they could have just spent the evening engaged in medieval embroidery. Maybe that's it.
That could have been an eventful and taxing evening.
Yeah. And I mean, if you spend a whole afternoon engaged in embroidery with a crummy wizard, maybe that would change your outlook on life, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a little Robin Thicke blurred lines situation.
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, I really like the way Vance uses all these... antique words. I mean, because it's a sort of fantasy novel, you expect made up words, but instead of using made up words, he just uses really old words. And that works out pretty well because it gives you the impression that this is different. This is something out of your experience. But you can still usually tell what it means.
Yeah, no, Vance could turn a phrase, and that is something rare in the fantasy genre, I think. Like, I mean, there's like three good Tolkien quotes. I'm going to say three. Feel free to tell me if there's four, but I'm pretty sure there's only three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree. I have less good things to say about Tolkien after I reread Lord of the Rings last year.
Oh God,
I read it when I was a kid, and then I didn't read it again until last year, and I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tolkien, a lot of words about trees. Doesn't mention that elves have pointy ears or 12 fingers. Yeah, pretty sure they have 12 fingers.
Everything. I mean, that's the thing. In Tolkien, he'll say, you know, a dwarf or an elf. In this work, there's no dwarves or elves. I mean, they kind of are lizard people, but he doesn't say these are lizard people and expect you to imagine it. He never uses the word, you know, lizard people. What he'll do is he'll describe these people with scaly skin and a whatever tail, and he'll describe them as lizard people. But he won't say it like this is a thing everyone knows about. Yeah. It's obvious that Kugel is discovering these things, and, you know, while it's something that happens, Kugel's not surprised to see people who look very different. It's not that, like, Kugel would have known, oh, there's lots of lizard people around.
Well, and I think a lot of the chapters actually start with him rolling into town and asking if they've, the locals, if they've even heard of where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is always, yeah, no. Like, he has to negotiate his way to at least, so, okay, what about this river? This mountain? Okay, that mountain I know.
Yeah, well, he knows the general direction, and he's just going based on general direction all the way up until the pilgrimage. And when the pilgrims arrive at where they're going, there's finally a map maker who can give him at least vague directions to where he's going. Would the directions amounting to go across this desert and then sail west?
Yeah, except you probably shouldn't go across the desert because no one makes it across because everyone dies.
Right.
And then he's like, I will make it across this desert because I've got like 50 religious nut jobs willing to front money for us to have crazy pack animals to make it across this desert.
Well, I mean, he has to con them into it, but...
Well, I mean, he just has, like, that they're religious nut jobs. He just has to tell them, look, across this desert is what you want. Yeah. And the desert is the test. And who cares if most of you die in the desert? Most of those people die.
Yeah, and, you know, almost all of them lose their faith. Even the most faithful one loses his faith and turns back and probably dies.
I gotta say, like, I loved the pilgrimage story. I think it's the longest one, just by word count.
Yeah.
And he systematically goes through every single one of them. Like, they introduce, like, seven named characters at an inn, and he goes through each one and abuses and alienates them in turn. And he gets to the sea, finally, and it's like, and the last one is like, screw you, man. I'm going that way because it's the opposite way of where you're going.
Oh, no, there's two of them left at that point. One of them loses his faith and tries to get back across the desert, but the other one actually goes with Kugel.
Oh, right.
The leader of the pilgrims stays with Kugel, goes across the ocean, and the first town they arrive at, he just gets skewered by a spear.
Yeah.
So
that's rough, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my favorite sections.
And then he finally gets back to the wizard's mansion. It's like, and the wizard doesn't even remember. That might be even better. It's like, so who are you? What are you doing? Okay, this, you sure I sent you for this thing? All right.
Yeah, well, it shows Kugel's, just self-centered focus on revenge, because he could have easily just killed the wizard there, because the wizard was in no state to react, and taken all his stuff. He would have been fine.
But no, he had to bury him in a little bubble.
Yeah, and make sure that the wizard knew who he was and why he was getting revenge. Yeah.
All right, and I think... Getting back to, I guess, the Tolkien connection is, I feel like Vance is the forgotten, like, of the grand old man of fantasy, you know, Tolkien and Howard and Liber. Vance is the forgotten one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I mean, I guess I'll point to D&D as the codifier of the genre here for a second. And everyone's trying to emulate either Morcar's, you know, Tolkien's setting and Moorcock's morality and Liber's, you know, freewheeling style with hints of Conan awesomeness. And then Vance is just the magic system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. I think we need more of Jack Vance in our fantasy right now.
Yeah, well, I like it. I mean, it's not everything is just magic. It seems, you know, he just describes everything, and he makes this world that everything is foreign and very old. And it's not that, how am I going to say this? I mean, like, the Ferx, who's on his liver, who you describe as a demon, is actually described as an alien from Astronar. And it's clear that sometime in the past bajillion years, humans have left Earth, gone to the stars, some of them stayed, they worked out magic, and there's aliens, and it's just, it tantalizes with all these hints of what's going on without really, and then it just focuses on Kugel and his tricking people and,
yeah,
and getting eaten by, monstrous creatures, basically.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's such a good fit, because I'll accuse D&D again. Like, your average D&D group has a few Kugels in it. Like, it has a lot more Kugels than it has Aragorns running around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to see players get petty, just give them an NPC that took their boots. Not even nice boots. Just like, that guy stole your shoes. It doesn't matter that you didn't even write shoes on your character sheet. He has them now, and they will go to the ends of the earth to kill that guy so hard.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I think that there is in D&D, especially the old stuff. I mean, you look at some of the monsters, you can see what must be some Jack Vance influence on just some of the weird, wacky monsters they have. Because, you know, if it was all based on Tolkien, it'd just be, you know, this is an elf, this is a dark elf, this is a dwarf, this is a demon or a Balrog or whatever. But they do have weird things with a bajillion eyes, and they have crazy, you know, cubes of goo that'll swallow you and things like this. And that, I think, is, you know, more Vancian than, you know, inspired by Tolkien, for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know if it comes across in all the settings quite so well. And you know what? D&D needs a bit more crazy. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, well, it's always a trade-off, because on the one hand, with the Tolkien style, you have the ease of reference. You can just say, this is an elf, and everyone knows what an elf it looks like. They got the pointy ears, they're tall and beautiful, and you
they
don't
are better see. Than you.
Yeah, better at everything. Older, they live longer, not going to die. So on. Yeah, but for the Vancian style, you sort of have to describe everything in detail as something that no one has ever, you know, no one in the group has ever come across.
And see, that's where the fun, I think, comes in for me. Because, you know what, it's one thing to have a hobgoblin, and it's another thing to be like, and it's this little goo thing, and it seems to be made out of scintillating light, and, oh, maybe it tastes good with barbecue sauce. Try it.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to the story where he eats the entire universe,
yeah,
by accident.
Yeah. No one's good. And then
I think that
I like the ease with which he, when he goes back in time and he's cast by the religious nuts who want to feed him to these winged monsters. I like the ease with which he just breaks the monster's wing and chases it while beating it. And you can see that these people just, they're terrified and they run away. But they could have beaten up those things.
No one tried.
No one tried. It's tough.
It's like, there's this point where it's like, hey, they're a bipedal creature with wings. Their bones are probably hollow. Yeah. Snap.
He just grabs a stick and whacks the thing. Yeah.
And I think the thing that really stood out for me, because this is the first time reading Vance's fantasy that I've ever done. I've read some of his science fiction, which is, I think, which makes me the exception in Vance readership, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to the fantasy, I really like this setting. Like, I like the idea that, and the time travel story really highlights it, is that, you know, this world is strange and wonderful, but it was so much better once. Like, there's this mournful tone that keeps coming back.
Yeah, everything sucks now. Everyone's just waiting for the sun to go out. Everyone who's left here are the losers.
Like, everybody's
who couldn't go be somewhere better.
Yeah.
They're all just assholes to each other.
Yeah. It's like everyone is terrible to each other. Every place is horrible in its own unique way. like, maybe you need to trick the nearest wanderer into sitting in a tower till the end of his days just to keep some crazy monster from eating everyone. But that's what you do to get by.
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say.
You know, it is great when Kugel actually has a character to bounce off of, because Vance's dialogue is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very dry, sarcastic wit that Tolkien could have used.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to say, was the dissonance between the way these people behave and the way they speak. Everyone is very well-spoken, erudite, very polite, even when they're being just bitterly insulting. And the animosity is just veiled always behind this polite veneer.
Like, that there's this toothy grin, and, yeah, by the way, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Is that all we have to say? Because I feel like we're both very up on this book, even if it's a little rapey.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy this book. I mean, it's a fun book. It's I love the humor. I like the writing. I really enjoy it. I mean, obviously, everyone's terrible, but I like that about the book.
There's something engaging about, like, everyone is terrible, but you have to see more.
Yeah, yeah. And in the other books, I mean, I have this in a collection, Tales of the Dying Earth, which has, this is the second of four books in that collection. And, you know, you're going on in there, you can see other people who are terrible. And, I mean, the last book in this collection is all about a group of wizards who are also just awful.
All right, so who would you say this is for?
I'm trying to think who I wouldn't recommend this to. I'd recommend this to, you know, almost anyone. I mean, if you need to have someone to root for, if you're a sort of reader who wants to have a protagonist that they can root for, then, you know, this isn't going to work for you. But other than that, I think it's just well written. It's fast. It's engaging. You know, it's not going to take you ages to read it, and it's just a lot of fun.
I would say, yeah, if you have a high tolerance for a main character that is a bastard, or are looking for more bastards in your fantasy fiction, like if you're a George R. R. Martin fan, I think this might be right up your alley.
Yeah, but I mean, it's sort of ameliorated by the fact that the bastards, they don't get what they want.
Well,
right? They're all bastards, but then terrible things end up happening to them.
Yeah, there is karmic justice.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to watch the bastards get away with it. They get away with it very briefly, and then they lose everything by being bastards again.
So maybe for Joe Abercrombie fans. Actually, Joe Abercrombie, the characters are bastards who are trying to improve themselves, and they inevitably backslide, which is also fun to watch happen. But this is just fun. I enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Like, it is bastardry and also fun. If you need that in your life, you should read this book.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
And I think, honestly, my recommendation is, if you're grabbing either the Omnibus, which is, I think, the only way to get it in print now, or getting the single volumes digitally, actually pace yourself. Like, I read these all basically in over the course of 5 days or so. And I think I would have been happier to read one story every week or two just to get that taste. Like, take your time with it. Savor it.
Yeah, well, it is, you know, originally published in serial format, so that's sort of how it was intended to be read.
You know, and I guess that's rare now, because I think most of what's serialized is almost intended for either the trade paperback or the Netflix binge.
Yeah, yeah, I almost never, even things that are supposed to be serialized, I very rarely watch or read them in a serialized way. I always just save them up and wait for the series to be done.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've got HBO TV on the brain because I just watched the premiere of Game of Thrones, the season premiere of Game of Thrones now, and I'm like, yep, this, you know, I would like this show a lot more if I had waited until all of the episodes for this year are out and could just watch them all in a row.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going to watch it. I don't need to watch it. I mean, it's not like I'm eager to know what happens. I've read the books, so, you know, I'll just wait when they're all out. I'll watch them all in a row.
All right, and so next time we will be talking about Master and Margarita, because we need to read a Russian novel, and that is the most fun Russian novel.
Good. Well, I'll read that one for sure. I've got that on my bookshelf. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I've got it over there now, and I will be starting that up soon. If you feel like we need to represent another nation in our fiction, suggest that. If you want to say anything about our good friend Kugel, let us say that, and we will take that into account. I seem to recall us doing episodes where we read comments back when we had those. Let's do that. Catch you next time, guys.
Yep. Bye.
Backseat Book Club is a Backseat production. Visit backseatproducers.com for more shows. Join the discussion and make suggestions for books on goodreads.com. Music by Kevin MacLeod.